So up till now, we've been on this path watching and learning and seeing how Peter is being taught by the Lord Jesus Christ to be an apostle. We don't just come out of the day of darkness and the day of love, our Lord's love, when he first opens us up and all of a sudden know all the things that the Lord needs us, wants us to know. We have a path that the Lord has us on, that we're all taught certain things. And the Lord is teaching Peter in how to be an apostle, along with the others. And on this path, we've been following through the book of Matthew, but this morning I'd like to take us to the book of Luke. We're going to change up books for just a moment and take a different perspective. And we may continue here in the book of Luke. I don't know. It just depends on how the Lord leads me in next week's studies. But I'd like to take a look at Luke's perspective and consideration as our great Savior comes into his final days on this earth. Turn to Luke chapter 21, if you would. Luke chapter 21. Actually, you know what? Let's start with verse 45 of chapter 20. Luke chapter 20, verse 45. Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples. Now remember, last week we saw our Lord was in the temple, and he was telling the Pharisees and the scribes. They were hypocrites. And he said, woe unto you. Seven times he said, woe unto those scribes and Pharisees for their misleading of the people. Bill and I were just talking a little bit ago about how in our very world today, the very world that we're in, our government and our media are under assault. What are they under assault of? They're under assault of the truth. That's truly what it is all about. That's what this chaos that we see going on around us really is. Those who lead this country, who have the power over the people to make decisions, don't want to lose their power. Well, that was the same thing with the Pharisees back in those days. They had the power over the people. Remember the lawyer that we read about who questioned Christ? He wasn't a lawyer that would stand in front of a judge and fight the plea of a guilty or whatever. No, he was a lawyer who would walk around and he would say to those, wait a minute, where were you last Sunday? How come you weren't in church? He was a lawyer who said, you know, I saw you talking to that girl who's dressed all frivolously and everything down there on the corner. What were you doing talking to her? This is the kind of lawyer who walked around and pointed their fingers at people, and they had power. Our Lord says to them, woe unto you for misleading my people. Woe unto you for what you're doing to my people. Here we see that. Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, beware of scribes, which desire to walk in long robes, and love greetings in the markets, and the highest seats in the synagogues, and the chief rooms at the feast, which devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. Kathy and I are reading Don Fortner's book on going home. It's a book about Revelation. And it talks, and Don is taking the reader through, and we're looking at the different parts of Revelations and what we can look forward to when the Lord takes us home, and what God's Word says about those things, not about what men's words are, but what God's words are. And in that book, there's a chapter titled Degrees in Heaven. There are no degrees in heaven, folks. God's people will all be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if your heart and your desire is to have more than that, then God give you what your heart's desire is. I want Christ and I want Christ alone. If I have Christ, I have everything. If I am a son of God, a joint heir with the Lord Jesus, does not Jesus have everything already? Well, I'm a joint heir with him. If we're his, we are heirs to everything he has. But there are degrees in hell. And our Lord says it right there. The same. These very ones who deceive the people because they have the power to do so, because they love their power, shall have a greater damnation. Look at verse 21, shall we? Or wait a minute. You will recall in our last couple of studies in Matthew, our Lord addressed these men as hypocrites. In Matthew 23:13, I'll take you back to remember, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. And then our Lord went on, and he continued to declare a woe unto them for the next 14 verses. Here in Luke chapter 21, our Lord looks up. Now look, read along with me if you would, please. Luke 21, verse 1. "And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in hither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have their abundance cast unto the offering of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." In Luke 21, we see this. We see our Lord looks up. Now I want you to consider that for just a moment. Because it'd be easy to say our Lord looked up and said, "Oh, what's this over here?" And I want to make sure we're very clear on this. Our Lord didn't look up and say, "Oh, what's this over here?" Absolutely not. In fact, it was our Lord who moved in that woman's heart to do exactly what she did. It was our Lord who allowed those hypocrites to do exactly what they did, giving all this. And he was sitting there exactly at that time so that he could teach his disciples this. This woman is giving more than all the rest. For she gives what is her life. That penny was all she had. You see, our Lord looks upon the hearts and he sees all things. This is not something that just happened out of accident. Our Lord made it happen so that you and I could sit here today, to sit here this very day and read this thing and see exactly what our Lord is teaching his disciples. The very same thing. Our Lord is omnipotent. He's all-knowing. He's Lord of all, isn't he not? Isn't that what we love about him the most? Is that he does rule over everything? And that nothing can stay his hand? If he has declared it to be so, it shall be so. If his name is Jesus and because he shall save his people, is that not something wondrous to you and I? Turn over to Mark chapter 12 for a moment, if you would. Mark chapter 12. I want to show you another perspective of this very same incident we just saw. This is not showing... This incident that we're reading about was not talked about in Matthew. But it is here in Mark and in Luke. So allow me to read verses 41 through 44. "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and noticed, beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Our Lord looks upon the hearts, and he sees all that is. When our Lord looked upon this heart, what do you think he saw? Does our Lord not declare that the heart is desperately wicked? Who can know it in his word? It's deceitful. It's deceitful above all things. So what did our Lord see when he looked upon this heart of this woman? He saw the new heart that he had given her. He saw the wondrous grace in his works of what he had done by giving her the new heart. He looks upon each and every one of us with that very same thing. He looks upon us and he sees the heart that he has given us, the heart that is covered in his blood. He doesn't see our sins anymore. I love that so much. So I'm faced to have to see them all the time because they're ever before me. But a day is coming when my Lord is going to take all that out of my sight and I will see exactly what he sees. Perfection. Perfection in his Son. Oh, I can't. It just boggles my mind. I can't even. We sing Amazing Grace, but really, in truth, that does not describe how great his grace really is. In Genesis 6:5, this is what our Lord sees in most men. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, continually evil. In Mark 7, verse 21, we read this, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders." It's a matter of the heart. It's the very center of our soul. In Matthew 12, verse 34, you'll recall we read this at an earlier time. Our Lord said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." In chapter 6 of Matthew 21, verse 21, we read this, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Our natural heart is to please ourselves, to love ourselves. It is by our very nature and its enmity with the things of God. That's what his word says. We sin because we are sinners. But our Lord says that you must be born again. Turn over to the third chapter of John, if you would. John chapter 3. Very famous words in that chapter, but we're going to read some that lead up to that. Look at verse 1 if you would. John chapter 3 verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." Now I don't know for sure if this man was part of those Pharisees at the temple the day the Lord cried out to them, called them hypocrites and stuff. But what if he was? It would explain why he came in the dark, as it says in verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night. We see a man who was declared to be a hypocrite at one point, as far as we can tell. And our Lord boldly called those men hypocrites. He did not hold his tongue. He said, "Woe unto you," and he declared them for what they were, self-righteous showmen, leading the people astray for their own gain. In John 3, verse 2, we read, "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." This Pharisee came in the night so as not to be seen by his fellow hypocrites. But do we not see a change of heart? Instead of a railing, which he did, remember they gathered afterwards and they plotted on how to kill the Lord. What can we do to this man who calls us a hypocrite? What can we do to this man who the crowds are leading more to than us? We're losing all of our power because the crowds are leaving us and they're going to him. He's talking about grace. We're talking about works. We want you to go out here and do this and do that and do this. He's saying he's already done it for you. And he has. That's the grace of God. He's done it all. He's done it all. And this man sees. He sees the wonder of the miracles God is doing, God in the flesh, the God-man, Jesus Christ. You know, there's no greater miracle ever performed on this earth than the miracle of changing you and I into God, sons of God's, giving us that new heart. Men had their hands healed, a withered hand healed. Another man was dead, raised from the death. Another man was lame and couldn't walk and was given the ability to walk. Another couldn't see. All of those miracles, all of the miracles this Pharisee saw, he declared to be miracles of God because no other man can do those. And every single one of those miracles God has done for each of you and each of one of us. Not just one. We were all blind. We all walked as the walk of death at one point or another until the Lord gave us life. We were all dead in trespasses and sin. All those miracles our Lord performed on this earth, He has performed in each and every one of His people. Isn't that a wonder? Jesus answered them in verse 3 of John chapter 3. Oh, wait a minute. He came in by the night so as not to be seen by his fellow hypocrites. But do we not see the change of heart? Instead of railing against the Lord, he saw miracles for what they were. Over in the 10th chapter of John, our Lord calls them not my sheep. Those Pharisees who saw the very same miracles, but yet did not see them for what they were. And here yet this man comes in the night, this one who was called a hypocrite, who our Lord said, woe unto, and he says, I've seen the miracles for what they are. In the 3rd chapter of John, chapter 3, Jesus answered, and he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A new heart. One of love for God. A new heart that believes the Son of the living God for who He is. He's Jesus Christ. He's God Almighty in the flesh. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. I and my Father are one, He says. A new heart. A heart of love for God. A heart that believes the Son of the living God for what He has done. He took all of our sins upon Himself. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. And then He was crucified for us, that He might take our sins into that grave, and God Almighty would never see Him again. He's given us a new heart, one of love. One that believes the Son of the living God for what He is doing right now. He's making intercession for each and every one of us. For each and every one of His people throughout all of time. Father, these are mine. Glorify them as You have glorified me. In the 4th verse we read this. Nicodemus saith unto Him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered. This is the answer our Lord has told each and every one of us. This is why we sit here this morning and say, salvation is of the Lord. It's not of what we have done. It's not of what we could do. It's not of what we will do. It is of the Lord and of the Lord alone. Verily, verily, He says in verse 5, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you're not born of the Spirit of God, if God has not come and put Himself in your heart, a new heart, you will not turn to the Lord, and you will not see heaven until the Lord does what He must do in the heart of His people. And there you have it. We see the answer to the free will religionist. What do you mean? Don't take my free will away from me. That's mine. No, nothing is ours. Everything is His. All power in heaven and earth is given unto the Son, and He rules over everything. Verse 6, our Lord continues with His answer. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Don't take what I said a moment ago about being born again and go off to some ridiculous point with it. Marvel not about that. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He says in verse 7, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. Have you ever sat and tried to see where the wind's coming? Oh, looks like it's coming from the north. Oh no, wait a minute. It's blowing a different direction over here. Maybe it's coming from the east. Nope. Over here I can see it blowing a different direction. It's funny how a wind just blows wherever it wants to. I've gone out here and I've heard Pastor Gene preach on this very subject. He actually preached a whole message, and some of you may remember, about blowing the leaves off the parking lot. And now that I've had that experience a few times, I can tell you, it's amazing, even with the power of that blower, what the Lord can do with His wind over mine. I'd be out there blowing with that big old blower. I'm just blowing like crazy. The Lord's, they're right back in my face. Oh, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Folks, to be born of God is to be given life by Jesus Christ and Him alone. We sing that word, or that song, Marvelous Grace, because we know of what we are before the Almighty God, and to see His wondrous grace shed upon us, we cry out with the only thing we can, Amazing Grace, how great the sound that saved a wretch like me. In verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And the answer to that is seen in Matthew 16. You don't need to turn there, I'll read it for you. You already know these words probably pretty well. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And He, our Lord, said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Folks, we know God because God has made it so. We could be walking in through this world as we were before the Lord called us out of that darkness, before the Lord revealed the truths about Himself to us. I don't know about you, but I remember. I remember well what John thought of God, and it was nothing. It was nothing. But today I praise Him, And I thank him for his mercy. And I do it because he revealed himself to me. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the rock of Jesus Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. A new heart. That's what our Lord saw in this woman. And he was pleased with that new heart because it was a new heart from him. One that was given to him, given to her by God the Father. She saw the truth of who Jesus Christ was and gave to her penury to the offering because of that very fact. Because God had done a work in her. Amen.